Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, June 14th, Pope Francis tells oil and gas CEOs that climate change threatens the future of the whole human family. Iran denies US accusations that they are to blame for attacks on oil tankers, and a prominent church in Sri Lanka reopens after it was bombed on Easter Sunday. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis said today the climate emergency that the world is facing requires our decisive action here and now, adding that time is running out. He made the comments while meeting with participants attending a summit entitled The Vatican Dialogues, The Energy Transition and Care for Our Common Home. Lydia O'Kane reports.
Greeting those attending the summit, which included multinational oil companies, the Pope spoke on an issue very close to his heart, the care for our common home. Pope Francis told those gathered that this second year of dialogue in the Vatican was taking place at a critical moment. Today's ecological crisis, especially climate change, he said, threatens the very future of the human family.
L'odierna crisi ecologica, specialmente il cambiamento climatico, minaccia il futuro stesso della famiglia umana.
The pontiff noted that a significant development in this past year was the release of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which warns that effects on climate will be catastrophic if the threshold of 1.5 Celsius outlined in the Paris Agreement goal is crossed. Faced with a climate emergency, the Pope underlined, we must take action accordingly in order to avoid perpetrating a brutal act of injustice towards the poor and future generations. In effect, he went on to say, it is the poor who suffer the worst impacts of the climate crisis.
Sono i poveri che soffrono il peggior impatto della crisi climatica.
What was required, stressed Pope Francis, was courage in responding to the increasingly desperate cries of the earth and its poor. During his address, the Pope focused on the three points that were being discussed during the meeting, which are a just transition, carbon pricing, and transparency in reporting climate risk. Pope Francis remarked that a just transition to cleaner energy, which is called for in the preamble to the Paris Agreement, can, if managed well, generate new jobs, reduce inequality and improve the quality of life for those affected by climate change. In conclusion, the Pope warned that time is running out.
Il tempo stringe.
Deliberations, he emphasised, must go beyond mere exploration of what can be done and concentrate on what needs to be done. In our meeting last year, Pope Francis said, I expressed the concern that civilization requires energy, but energy use must not destroy civilization. Today, a radical energy transition is needed to save our common home. He continued by saying that the climate crisis requires our decisive action here and now, and the Church is fully committed to playing her part. However, the Pope did strike a note of optimism. There is still hope and there remains time to avoid the worst impacts of climate change, he said, provided there is prompt and resolute action. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
In world news, Iran has described US accusations that it was to blame for attacks on two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman as unfounded, as Nathan Morley reports.
Both ships were struck at dawn on Thursday by what U.S. military officials believe were mines. The U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is pointing the finger of blame at Iran for the attacks, which took place off the Iranian coast.
It is the assessment of the United States government that the Islamic Republic of Iran is responsible for the attacks that occurred in the Gulf of Oman. This assessment is based on intelligence, the weapons used, the level of expertise needed to execute the operation, recent similar Iranian attacks on shipping, and the fact that no proxy group operating in the area has the resources and proficiency to act with such a high degree of sophistication.
The United States has also called on the United Nations to look into the incident. Here's the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres.
Facts must be established and responsibilities clarified. And if there is something the world cannot afford, is a major confrontation in the Gulf region.
Meanwhile, the United States Navy has made public a video which it claims shows an Iranian Navy boat disconnecting an unexploded limpet mine from the hull of the two tankers which were attacked in the Gulf of Oman. One of the tankers is Norwegian-owned and the other is owned by a Japanese shipping company. Back in the United States, the topic has become the dominant issue on news shows. The former U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman has no doubts who's behind the attack.
Iran was moving, the Islamic Republic of Iran, a government controlled by terrorists, for years has been moving aggressively throughout the Middle East, supporting terrorists, really controlling Syria, moving into Yemen, and the Trump administration, to their credit, turned it around. President broke out of the Iran nuclear agreement, squeezing Iran with sanctions economically.
Tensions between the U.S. and Iran have escalated significantly since U.S. President Donald Trump took office back in 2017. Regarding this incident, the Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif said on Twitter that the U.S. has made an allegation without a shred of factual or circumstantial evidence. He also said Washington is attempting to sabotage diplomacy. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In Paris, France, 2 months after the April 15th fire that destroyed the roof, spire and part of the vault of Notre Dame Cathedral, the Diocese of Paris announced that tomorrow, Saturday 15th of June at 6 p.m, Mass will be celebrated inside the cathedral. A statement released by the Archdiocese of Paris says that the faithful will not be able to participate, but will be able to follow the celebration live on TV on KTO, the Catholic television channel of France. The celebration, presided over by the Archbishop of Paris, Michel Aupetit, will be open to only 30 people, including priests, laypeople, technicians and some journalists. In Sri Lanka, St. Anthony's Shrine in Kochikade has been reopened after it was targeted in a series of suicide bomb blasts across the country on Easter Sunday. In the attacks on several churches and hotels, almost 140 people were killed. Cardinal Albert Malcolm Ranjit, Archbishop of Colombo in Sri Lanka, sends a message to Christians worldwide for the reopening of the church.
Dear brothers and sisters, we are very happy to inform you that we have started the services in the Church of St. Anthony's at Kochikade and in Sri Lanka, and after the bomb attack. You knew about what happened in these churches, how much it was these churches were destroyed, and then now with the help of various sources, including our own government, we have been able to rebuild this church and reopen it. And it was a joyful gathering of thousands of people, Catholics and non-Catholics, and all the people who come to this church last 12th and 13th when we blessed and opened this church. So we are very happy to announce that. And I want to say this is the beauty of our Christian faith and our Christian calling.
In Sudan, the country's ruling military has acknowledged that security forces committed violations when they moved in to disperse a protest sit-in camp outside the military headquarters in Khartoum last week. The spokesman of the ruling military council says an investigation is underway and several military officers are already in custody over the violations. He did not elaborate on the violations beyond saying they were painful and outrageous, and he has rejected all calls for an international investigation into the incident. Last week's violence, which protest organisers said left over 100 killed, marked an alarming turn in the standoff between the protesters and the Sudanese military. Turning back to church news, at the end of the first day of his recent apostolic journey to Romania, Pope Francis met with the 22 Jesuits working in the country, speaking with them in a relaxed and familiar atmosphere. During the hour-long encounter, the Holy Father touched on various topics, including indifference, diversity, and accompanying couples in difficult marriages. Christopher Wells tells us more.
In his conversation with Jesuits in Romania, Pope Francis spoke about desolations and consolations in life. Asked about how to deal with criticisms in turbulent times, the Pope said, "It takes patience." He recommended remaining close to the Lord in prayer and with time spent before the tabernacle, and remaining close to the people of God through works of charity. Speaking about consolations, the Pope said, "True consolations are those in which the passage of the Lord is made present." Responding to a later question about indifference, Pope Francis again referred to St. Ignatius, who he said tells us that if there is indifference and there is no consolation or desolation, it's not good. Indifference is one of the great temptations of today, the Pope said. We live the temptation of indifference, which is the most modern form of paganism. The Holy Father also responded to a question concerning the difficulty faced by couples in difficult marriages, and the path traced out in his apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia. Pope Francis insisted that the Synod on the Family has taken a step on the path in matrimonial morals, passing from the casuistry of decadent scholasticism to the true morals of St. Thomas Aquinas. Instead of offering easy yes or no answers, he explained, we must accompany couples who find themselves in difficult situations. In answer to a final question about diversity, and specifically diversity within the Jesuit order, Pope Francis said that diversity is a grace, which shows that the Society of Jesus doesn't cancel out personalities. At the same time, however, the Pope said we must have unity of hearts and spirits. Let us thank God we're different, he said. I'm Christopher Wells.
And finally, six religious leaders from Hong Kong are visiting the Vatican this week as they strive to improve interreligious relations in the city. The delegation received Pope Francis's blessing and met with officials at the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Devon Watkins has more.
The leaders of Hong Kong's six religions are in Rome this week to mark the 40th anniversary of an organization dedicated to improving interreligious ties. Pope Francis met briefly with the Colloquium of Six Religious Leaders of Hong Kong, as the group is known, on the sidelines of his Wednesday general audience. He invoked upon them joy and peace in Jesus Christ and blessed the religious leaders. Speaking to Vatican Radio during the group's visit to the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, Anglican Reverend Peter Kuhn said he believes the trip will help improve the harmonious relationship among Hong Kong's religions.
This is, I think, the first time our six religions in Hong Kong have the opportunity to come to visit the Holy See.
These six religions are Christianity, Catholicism, Islam, Confucianism, Buddhism, and Taoism. Cardinal John Tong Han, the Apostolic Administrator of Hong Kong, is accompanying the delegation on their visit to the Eternal City. He explained how the colloquium group works.
We have an official gathering twice a year. We also have many gatherings for particular issues.
Those issues cover the range of social relations amongst the 7.4 million people living in Hong Kong. The representative for the city's Islamic community is Kai Wai Ha, who goes by his Muslim name Ali.
What we do is try not to have any conflict, but we just spread the news of peace and harmony in Hong Kong.
The Buddhist representative Sik Kwan Yun delved deeper into the role harmony plays in interreligious dialogue, heard here through a translator.
For us human beings, we have to rely on one another in order to survive and be well. And we have to accommodate one another so that we can thrive.
Confucianism, said its representative Dr. Tong Yun Kai, brings a unique and helpful doctrine to interreligious dialogue.
Respect the differences, but look for commonality.
The trip to Rome will certainly have helped the six Hong Kong leaders to understand what their religions share in common with Catholicism. I'm Devin Watkins.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio. In the Vatican, I am Francesca Merlo.